Welcome to Trending in Education. This is Mike Palmer. I'm back from a whirlwind trip out to San Diego for the ASU GSV conference. Also, the first edition, the inaugural run of the AIR show, the AI Revolution show, also sponsored by ASU GSV. I got to say, I think the two worked pretty well together in that you kind of separated a little bit of the shaking out of the AI hype cycle from the more long-term strategic arc that ASU GSV is kind of known for. I will say that in the AIR show, I did see some new products that were out there. I actually saw them in action, which was interesting. A lot of stuff that I think will be teacher powering. I forget who I talked to out there, but they said they want to put the AI behind the teacher, which I really like because I had been thinking of it as teacher facing, but more the idea like it kind of powering our teachers, giving them superpowers, but the teacher is still the front end. The teacher is still the way in which the information and the modeling of human engagement and social, emotional connectedness, empathy, durable skills, power skills, whatever you want to call them. A lot of that is going to come from direct connection with humans. But the idea that those humans are powered with even more juice, they're kind of supercharged. I do like that positioning a little bit better rather than teacher facing almost as the idea that the screen gets in the way. I'm still convinced that AI is going to become much more powerful once we're able to let go of our phones. And that's got to happen in the next, say, 10, 15 years. There's got to be more zero UI initiatives out there. They're going to make it more seamless. It's also why I do think sound is interesting as a medium, as is kind of the layering that you get with augmented reality. Apple Vision is kind of the first of a new category that's maturing out there. But it'll be an interesting time. Certainly gets the wheels turning. Another observation out there is that it is the time of Clippy's revenge. You'll hear me talking about that when I wound up engaging with a couple of different folks who are managing chatbots, are responsible for that level of engagement. They were kind of all over the AIR show where there were a couple of mascots out there even. I did see Ed, friend of the show, Ed, who we did talk about. Nancy and I had a show talking about that, brought back an interview I did with Joanna Smith Griffin, who's doing really interesting work with All Here, helping the LI Unified School District power its personal virtual assistant, which is going to be helping students really fight absenteeism and drift and melt, disconnection, all those kinds of problems that we see out there. This idea of a 24/7 automated level of engagement that is also triggered by indications from you, student or family, that maybe we're losing you. Hopefully those indications can get early enough so that the right outreach can happen to start to bring folks who might be drifting away back into our educational system. That certainly was interesting. I will say a couple of platforms to keep an eye out on, some that I looked at that I thought were interesting. One is a platform called Snorkel, also teacher powering. Perhaps that was where I heard it's behind the teacher. Interesting options, really, for educators to start to remove some of the low-value work in their lives, help give them better prompting, better ways to engage and reach their learners. Also, the promise of personalization is something you hear a lot about. Beyond Snorkel, I also thought the work that Chiron Learning is doing is interesting. I am producing a podcast called EdHeads now that features Rajan Sheth, the founder and CEO of Chiron. It was cool to see what Rajan had talked about actually in action to be demoed at their booth. Their one to keep an eye on, Rajan was the creator of Google Apps back in the day and wound up leaving a very senior position at Google to begin work at Chiron. They're a few years in. He's very teacher-centered in his rollout. And I will say that is, generally speaking, what I'm seeing here. Even the fact that there were a lot of educators, the AIR show was free, and it was a chance for educators to come and see and talk to the people who are building these products to hopefully build some more sense of connection. Another platform that I saw there that I want to keep an eye on is called Atypical. And we'll include links to all of these in the show notes. All of them are basically enhancing your content capabilities, supercharging what an instructional designer can do, what a teacher can do in a classroom, even what any of us can do, frankly, as we try to stand up better learning media, better instructional media, have it have better data stories under the hood, better architecture that will allow it to be more interoperable with AI and more tapped into AI to be able to start providing more detailed feedback, more of that personalization that we talked about. The mascot piece got a little out of hand. CK12 had a mascot. I think there was one more out there. It is a good way to get attention at a conference, but I do feel like the whole Clippy's revenge thing is real, where, you know, Clippy was kind of annoying back in the day. I feel like we need subtler ways to kind of infuse this stuff. And by the time you're kind of anthropomorphizing and personifying your AI, you're almost tapping into some tricky ways of thinking that we're trying to kind of train ourselves out of. I say this as someone who frequently has Nancy on as a co-host, so I'm as guilty of this as anyone. But I think we'll probably need to weigh, on the one hand, the benefit of narrative, the benefit of character that kind of connects us to the other, to the externality of AI. But at the same time, you know, it is good to be behind the teacher, to be behind the humans, to be supporting the humans, and to actually position it as such in terms of what you're putting out as a product. A couple more notes on the AIR show. It was great to see Brian Alexander in person. Brian and I have been friends since I met him back in 2019, right after I left Kaplan. And then Brian's been on the show 3 times. He's a prolific writer and futurist. He was there with Ian Wilhelm from the Chronicle of Higher Education, looking ahead, thinking about some possible futures for higher ed, which certainly was another theme out there, sort of higher ed on the brink, where there were some challenges that were off on the horizon when we talked about the enrollment cliff and some of the demographic challenges. They've now been compounded by some disaffection about higher ed and concern about the price, concern about the some college, no degree problem, which was very prevalent in terms of the problem spaces that were being explored out there. Can AI help in that equation? Yeah, perhaps, you know, and especially if we can manage against bias, which is something I talked recently to Tim Dacey, who's an AI expert, worked at MIT for years. But if we can manage against the bias and at least go in with our eyes open when engaging with AI, it's only going to be as good as the data sets that are feeding it. Perhaps we can start to address at least the issue of access. The benefit of these bots, the benefit of AI, is it's available 24/7. How can we design it in such a way that the humans stay in the loop and can kind of ideally be the front end of the empathy and engagement and human connection, shared experience, shared meaning that we're all seeking in this day and age, but increasingly make it smarter, supercharge it with the AI behind. Last thing on the AIR show, I did get to see George Siemens talk. George is featured on The Cusp, which is a new podcast I'm producing for Paul Fain, education journalist, looking at the impact of AI on jobs. And George was a really great guest. He's our first guest on that podcast, which you can find at thecusp.ai. We'll include a link to that in the show notes. George was there with visionary leader in higher ed, Paul LeBlanc, who recently left Southern New Hampshire University and now is deeply involved in developing a data consortium for higher ed with Paul and Ted Mitchell, who's the president of the American Council on Education. The three of them gave a brief talk about the work they're doing, really announcing the work that they're doing to develop data consortium, a way to share data and to be more transparent about student success and completion rates and all of the big problems in higher ed. Can we get it so that that becomes more of an open playbook where we can leverage each other's data and start to really lift all boats, hopefully reach community colleges, regional colleges, not just the elite who, for example, you know, there was talk of Stanford and University of Michigan releasing their own LLMs, which is wonderful. If you're an R1 university, you have a big endowment, you're able to do the research, fantastic. But how can that research not be treated as behind a moat, you know, really within these ivory towers, as opposed to out there accessible and something that could really lift all boats within higher ed. Somewhat hopeful about that. At least there are some inklings and some awareness and some grassroots movement. I'm hoping to get more insight from folks like Brian, folks like George and Paul Fain and Paul LeBlanc. Lots of really interesting people out there. As I mentioned, Rajan Sheth. We'll include links to these episodes where you can check out some of these other pods that are coming down the pike. Really interesting time to be thinking about the future of education, and I am connecting into more of it, and you'll be hearing more of that really throughout the feed here. I think that can kind of put a pin in the air show. AI is going to continue to be something we track. I did meet Tim Dacey in person there, which was nice. I wound up seeing Beth Rudden again in person, you know, folks who had been on the show who I had never really had a face-to-face with before. I was able to see them in person. Shifting over to ASU-GSV, I also saw Daniel O'Donnell out there, who was kind of haunting me, where I had to edit his episode, which just went out, about a chatbot named Wyatt, who is helping folks benefit data trust. Erica Blumenthal, a good friend of mine from my days at Kaplan, was on to talk about the work they're doing, connecting, again, higher ed students in need to the benefits they're entitled to. We were able to talk about the FAFSA debacle, talk about how SNAP benefits and food insecurity factor into how we can think about helping folks really get the social mobility and the economic mobility they need from higher ed, and really empowering access to things that are already there. The William Gibson saying that I quote regularly on the show is, the future is here now, it's just not very evenly distributed. It does seem like AI does open up some opportunities to even out that distribution and to provide access for folks who may not have had it otherwise. So I think there was a little bit of hope, with obviously some measured caution and skepticism. There was a lot of dissing of platforms as AI wrappers. Is it enough to just put a ChatGPT or other LLM prompt in front of a learner and act as though you've solved something meaningful or you've sort of broken through? How is it curated? How are you learning alongside them with the LLM? And then where is it developmentally appropriate to start to give kids a little bit of freedom to engage with this stuff and ideally to mature their discernment and their critical thinking when it comes to ascertaining whether they're getting value or they're getting a hallucination, or is it actually useful hallucination that we're getting from these BS engines, as I call them, from time to time? They are not really designed to be instruments of truth. They're really rhetorical engines. They're rhetorical dance partners that ideally help the human mature their game. And, you know, they're only as good as what we put into them. And in many ways, what we wind up getting back is really an extension of ourselves, because we really were the trigger. It's a fascinating space, really interesting to think about the learning implications. That did then blend into what was happening at ASU-GSV. I was able to catch a couple of sessions there. I was able to see Paul Fain do an interview there with other folks about AI's impact on jobs. I saw Alan Safran from Saga Education and others on a panel about the future of high dosage tutoring, high impact tutoring, which has been a real positive impact. You know, it's demonstrated, you know, the research has shown that it does help improve outcomes for students. The question is, how do we continue to maintain it even as ESSER funding and other of the tools that have been out there to schools are going away? Are there other ways to continue and build upon the success that we've seen through the pandemic, coming out of the pandemic? And now, if that were powered by AI, how would you think about designing those types of interventions? Once again, perhaps AI evolves and maybe becomes a little bit more of a matchmaker, more of a facilitator of creating more human-to-human time, more time for the motivation and representation and really belief in ourselves that is really best powered by human contact, best powered by the best moments that a teacher or a tutor, parent, an educator might be able to provide to a student. There was fun. While we were out there, I was able to record an episode of Running It Back, my sports podcast with Tarlan Ray. This was the first time we were able to record that in the same place physically rather than through Zoom. So that was exciting. And soon after recording that session, we were able to check out a special event featuring DMC and Naughty by Nature. The roof was being raised. We were down with OPP, Hip Hop Hooray. Don't call it a comeback. Oh, wait, mixed up there. But it was fun. You know, it is nice to let loose a little bit. And that was sponsored by You Will, which is a mental health initiative focused on K-12 and really using DMC as an ambassador. Common was out there. There's a platform called Flowcabulary where you learn vocabulary through hip hop. It was interesting to see the level to which hip hop and rappers were representing out there as part of the culture and as part of perhaps a new wave of education. I didn't yet see the connection between AI and hip hop, but it's only a matter of time, isn't it? Feel free to take that idea and run with it if you like it. I also recorded a quick happy hour conversation with folks from study.com and ETS talking about a partnership they did about Praxis. Let's listen in a little bit of that interview right here. So this is Mike. I'm here in the courtyard of the Guild Hotel. I'm at ASU GSV and I'm joined by Dana Bryson from study.com and Paul Gollish from ETS. They've been doing some interesting work together. It's fun to get the buzz and the experience of ASU captured in audio. So hopefully you can hear people at the cocktail hour behind us. But welcome to the show, Dana and Paul.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. And just general thoughts on what it's been like out here in San Diego last couple of days.
It's been exciting. It's been overwhelming. It's been exhausting.
Yeah.
But it's been my mind's kind of blown with possibilities.
Yeah.
Around problems we need to work on solving.
Yeah, it's an incredible conference. It always is really energizing. It gets a great representative group of stakeholders in education, everybody in the same place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the two of you have news on the Praxis front. We'll get into that in a bit. Maybe quick rundown, beginning with you, Dana, like study.com.
Yeah.
Who are you? What do you guys do?
It's an online education platform. We've got a full curriculum 4th through 12th grade. We've got learners and educators in 12,000 districts.
Yeah.
Got about 1,500 test prep products. So professional and academic prep. And then we've got a couple hundred college credit courses, saved learners about $300 million in the cost of college credit over the last years.
Okay.
So call it, a lot of folks take it for college transfer credit.
Yeah, makes sense. This conference feels like the voice of the teacher is trying to get in there,
yes.
Which is why I was very happy to hear about the work you're doing around Praxis. And when we talk about Praxis, you talk to me about Praxis. That's an Allen Iverson joke. But Paul, you work for ETS and you're responsible for Praxis. Can you catch us up? You know, I think folks know generally what ETS is, but can you refresh us there and talk about the work you're doing on Praxis?
Yeah, absolutely. So ETS is a 75-year-old nonprofit. We invented standardized tests a long time ago, and we're in the middle of quite a transformation, you know, leveraging the science of measurement, psychometrics, to advance human progress.
Mm-hmm.
And Praxis is one of our marquee brands, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's the required educator licensure exam that's used in 43 states and territories to help credential and certify our educator workforce.
Absolutely. I was mentioning coming in, I worked at Kaplan for 20 years, and back in the early 2000s, I did write a test prep book.
That's awesome.
For Praxis, and I think some of that may have even powered a little AI that you're now sprinkling into the mix. AI is very much
exciting.
The buzz here.
Yeah.
The AIR show was part of ASU GSV, talking about how people are using AI, a lot of startup activity, but also established organizations are partnering and thinking about how to use it. Can you describe what you're doing and what your partnership's all about?
Yeah. So I'll talk about it more generally and then a little bit about AI. So we are partnering to build a more diverse and representative educator pipeline. We are working with a lot of alternative pathway programs, trying to focus on teacher cadets of color, really looking at what the barriers are and trying to work in coalition to make sure that the Praxis exam is not a barrier, but is in fact accessible for all educators. So we're working with very diverse grow your own programs, teacher residency programs, high school cadets who want to go to an HBCU and be a teacher. So we can really focus on that spark that young folks have around being an educator and make sure we keep it alive and let them get in the classroom.
Yeah, that makes sense because there is a problem around like representation among
yes.
the teaching cohorts. I think it's Real Men Teach. I saw that,
yes.
that stuff that's out there. I've been tracking like you know, almost how do you reframe the career path, the profession and give it the respect that it needs. It's also interesting when you hear about AI, there's a lot of realization that AI alone is not going to solve any of our problems. Mm-hmm. We're going to need the people who deliver the human experience to it.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Our teachers. And you're kind of on the other side. Before you become a teacher, you got to pass the praxis. And it's a pass-fail kind of thing, right? Like,
yeah, different states have different cut scores.
Yeah.
But your performance on one of the 160 praxis exams that you might take one for elementary education, chemistry, special education. But yeah, your performance is a key input into whether you, get your teaching license.
And it can become a barrier for some of the cohorts you're talking about, some of the folks who are trying to get into the teaching profession.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of some of the bad, I would say, spin that you could put on it. I mean, we fervently believe that there needs to be a quality metric to see who gets into the classroom.
Yeah, yeah.
So what we test, which is the content knowledge, is sort of necessary but not sufficient.
Got it.
We would argue.
Yeah. And then as an old school Kaplan guy, it's also teachable.
Yep.
Is the thing that I think people frequently get concerned about. It's like you just think this is the score I'm going to get in this test. And that's it.
But,
and if I'm not going to get it, but I think the research, I know you're a very research-based organization.
Right.
You have found that there are interventions that can actually help people get to where they need to go.
I mean, engaging in high-quality test prep, such as the stuff that Study has, that is highly correlated with success.
I could talk a little bit about one of the initiatives that really brought us together on this passion. And we at Study.com launched a few years ago the Keys to the Classroom initiative. It was a specific initiative focused on trying to get more diverse and representative educators into the classroom and retained in the classroom. So recruitment and retention.
Yep.
Just a couple stats about the folks in the program we had. It was a majority minority folks. So more than 60% of the teacher cadets in the program identified as a person of color.
Yep.
62% were first gen. And what we found in the folks who went through and took the Study.com courses to prepare for their licensure exam, that when they engaged with 100% of the course, they passed at 92%.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We found a 26% lift in pass rates for first-time test takers, up to 72%. And so it was really with that nugget that we began to have conversations with ETS, because we saw the new leadership at ETS, we saw a lot of appetite for innovation, a lot of listening. And this is not just because you're here, but really ETS really has been a great partner because they're very, very curious about what's working. And there's not an assumption that they know the answer. It's that they really want to hear what folks' experiences are.
Yeah.
And we're committed to getting, better and more diverse educators into the classroom. Yeah. We share that vision, which is exciting.
The big announcement that we made yesterday that we'll make here on your show today is that we partnered to provide a free, F-R-E-E, free AI Praxis Core Prep available to anyone who wants to take it. And so prep for the listeners out there, of course, is just as a reminder, is what you need to take is basic skills to get into a program. So it's reading, writing, and math.
Got it.
We never want that to be a barrier, especially for non-traditional folks who might be, maybe they were a reporter.
Right.
Or maybe they, used
English
to,
language
English
learner.
English language learner. Maybe they were a pharmacist. Now they want to go back and become an educator.
Yeah.
So we are offering a test that uses AI, both machine learning and adaptive learning, to give a diagnostic that says, hey, Michael, this is what you need to know. And this is how the weight is on the exam. So therefore, this is what we recommend are your areas of highest need for studying.
Yeah.
So that we, in partnership with ETS, have a roadmap, a personalized roadmap for aspiring educators to save with the thing that is most valuable to them, which is their time.
Right. Exactly. Because it's time and motivation are probably the biggest problems. And they kind of go together where if you're already busy working another job and you're trying to become a teacher at the same time, you don't have a lot of time.
Right.
So how do you, that's really one of the promises of AI is that it should make human use of time more efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So exciting stuff. We'll include a link to that in the show notes for the episode. Any wrapping up, any thoughts, any concluding ideas, vision, takeaway for folks who might be listening to this conversation?
I guess what I would say is that we need teachers and we need diverse educators. And so if you have that spark, if you think, is this something I should do? Can I make the change or should I go back? The answer is yes. Try it. Do it. We're here to support you. We need you.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say. Yeah. Call to action. Go do it.
Yeah, you're not alone. People are out there who want to help. Yes.
And ETS wants to help, right? We're in the process of a huge transformation, turning Praxis from a single event, high stakes test into an ecosystem that supports teachers along their career journey from pre-service to in-service. You know, this partnership with STUDY is fantastic, providing the supports that that our educators need to pass tests. You know, increasing pass rates is our true north, and we're we're well on our way to doing that.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff. I was reading Kevin Roos's book, Future Proof, and one of the professions that is
future proof
is teaching. Like, it's not going anywhere. We're still going to need teachers in the mix.
It's so funny you say that. I mean, I really fervently believe that teachers are the force multiplier. Yeah. I don't know what the jobs of the future, you know, hold for the youth of our nation, but I know that they all need really good K-12 teachers, and the impact that one teacher can have on our population, you know, thousands of kids.
Yeah.
It's awe-inspiring. It's an incredible profession, and we're just looking to get more and more quality and diverse educators in the classroom.
Fantastic stuff. All right. Thanks, folks.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Well, there you have it. A Trending in Ed First, recorded live from a happy hour. Be on the lookout for us appearing live at a cocktail hour near you. Let us know. Be happy to bring our mobile kit, which was successful out there at ASU. Take it out on the road with us. There's plenty more that we also talked to. I did talk to a couple of folks at Age of Learning, moving more into early childhood and developing learner identities. Sunil Gandaria was back, and I met Dana Hughes for the first time, recorded a little bit there. Joel Podolny, who's the founder and CEO of Honor Education, he and I had a fantastic conversation. It's an episode in itself that we recorded outside on Adirondack chairs on a beautiful sunny morning in San Diego. I did learn a lot in terms of the remote conference experience, how to bring the right gear out there to record effectively. Hopefully, we'll be leveraging that more. If you have a conference coming up and you want a little bit of the unique takes that you get from Palmer Media and Trending in Ed, let me know. I'd love to come out and see what we can capture while we're out there. I'll be bringing more of that to you listeners through upcoming episodes. We'd also love to hear back from you. I did wind up walking all around San Diego while I was out there. I walked back from the conference center to my hotel in Little Italy several times, recorded a couple of those constitutionals, may even bring a little bit of that into the feed in coming weeks. And then I also walked to the airport, and it turned out that I wasn't the only ASU GSV attendee who did so. We may get Denny on the show, who was walking very close to where I was. We weren't quite striking up conversation until the very end of our walk, but it's an interesting time to think about the power of human-to-human contact, the power of being in the same place, really the power of serendipity. Some of the most engaging and meaningful conversations were just struck up, and or I bumped into someone who I knew who may be on the show in the future, or someone who maybe I hadn't seen in some time. There was a great Kaplan party that I attended that really allowed me to kick it with some of the folks I worked with for many years while I was a Kaplan. Always good to see folks again and connect again there. Maybe get more of those folks on upcoming episodes. And then looking ahead, you know, there's some really interesting stuff on AI coming down the pike. We will be launching a podcast called AI in Ed, which is going to be a spinoff of this podcast. You'll be hearing that soon. My interview with Eddie Watson about his new book, Teaching with AI, is one of my favorites. I think folks will really love that. That's coming out in early May. The book's just about to come out. And beyond that, I'm going to try to stay hopeful, try to stay on top of things. Be on the lookout for more subfeeds, because one thing I keep hearing from folks is, I love the show, but this is the lane that I really want to operate in. How do I just get what I need? So in addition to AI and Ed, be on the lookout for Trending in Higher Ed and Trending in K-12. Those things are going to be coming down the pike. I'm trying to spin out the varietals and the substrands that folks are really looking for. And I must say, I come away with a little bit of hope. The spirit of the troops, I think, was better than I expected, despite everything that's going on in the world around us. I was a little more inspired, really, coming out of my first two conferences of the year, South by Southwest EDU in March, and now ASU GSV in April. If you have ideas for where we should go next, what we should be looking at next, let me know. And if you're interested in producing a pod, just like Paul Feen or AJ Gutierrez decided to reach out and get my help, Edheads, edheadspod.com is AJ's podcast. Rajan Sheth is the first guest. Really interesting stuff. You want to check that one out. And then thecusp.ai is Paul's podcast, Paul Feen, editor of Workshift and the author of the Job newsletter. Interesting stuff. I'm feeling more connected. I'm more energized to try to get the right kinds of stories out to you, the right kinds of topics and guests for us to really continue and perhaps dig further into engaging conversations about the future of education, the future of work, impact to jobs, impact of new and emerging media. And all along the way, we'll be playing with the tools, let you know what we think, let you know what works. Please subscribe. Please show us your support. I'd love to talk to you more if you're interested in sponsorship, you're interested in picking up your level of engagement and support. I'm always looking for co-hosts and guests. Reach out to me on LinkedIn. Find me wherever you listen to pods. Trending in Ed, trendingined.com. We're doing what we can here at Trending in Education. Couldn't do it without all of you. Special thanks to the folks at ASU-GSV, Deborah Quazzo and Jesse Crabb, for the media pass. I get a lot out of it. This is my second year going, and I'm really starting to pick up on some through lines and some storylines for us to continue to cover here on Trending in Ed. With that, I'm going to wrap this up. We'll be back again soon. This is Trending in Education.